Just a couple things I'd like to say as I begin this morning. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. As you know, Alan and Cindy are in the process of moving to Tennessee and are not here this morning. Our new preacher, Michael Sullivan, is not here today. I had a few things to say to him about not being here today. Do you realize this is his first official Sunday as being the preacher here, and he's on vacation? I talked to him a little bit about that. I told him most of the jobs I've ever had, you know, the first day of work, I generally showed up. So please join in with me to some of these sentiments as we bring Mike into the fold. I'm excited. I think Mike's excited. Second thing I'd like to talk about this morning is I'd like to extend an invitation to anyone in this audience that might be a new brother or sister in Christ, or someone that is young in the faith. We've been having a class that we call the Basic Principles class. We've just concluded our first 2 years of study, and we're getting ready to start our second session. This class meets on Sunday morning, Wednesday evenings, during the regular Bible class time here. We'll be beginning in January the 17th to start this second study, and it will last also 2 years. I'm going to ask if you're interested in attending that class. The seating is limited, to see either John Craig or myself, and let us know that you're interested in that study. The lesson this morning is for me. You can listen as I preach, but there are several things in this lesson this morning that I need. This is a lesson that I have preached several times. First time I preached this lesson was in December of 1986, and I've preached it several times since then. And this lesson never fails to hit me right between the eyes. Some things that I, as a member of the body of Christ, need to keep in mind. As John mentioned, the key passage from my lesson this morning is found in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and verse 10. In Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Adversity is something that is going to strike us all. But we who are children of God realizes that adversity is going to make us strong. As we deal with these issues of life, it is going to make us stronger children of God. Though the Bible warns of us fainting in the day of adversity, it also gives us assurance that God is with us during this time. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse 20. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, it says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." No matter what happens to us in this life, Our Lord, our Father in heaven, is with us during those times. What are we talking about adversity? Many things. Loss of a job. Loss of a mate. Decisions our government makes. World affairs. Physical disabilities. There's so many things that can affect us in this life that we call adversities. The question we want to ask this morning and we want to look at is, how do I deal with those things when they come my way? Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul knew the object of his faith. Paul knew that it wasn't in what he thought or what he believed, but he knew the object of his faith was in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." This morning, one thing we need to do, no matter what happens to us in this life, is we have to keep an eye on Jesus Christ, the object of our faith. I want to look at an illustration. Gordon read just a few moments ago from Matthew 14. I'm not going to read this again. But Peter had a problem. Jesus was out on the water. He sent the boys out in a boat, and Jesus was on the land. And Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. These men were out in this boat on the Sea of Galilee, and it was stormy. But Peter wanted to walk out to Jesus. But here's what I want to look at in this illustration. Peter was okay as long as he kept his focus on Jesus Christ. But when the wind blew and all of a sudden it became a distraction to him, what did he do? He fell. Let me ask you a question this morning. How do we react when adversity comes our way? How long does it take for us to collect our thoughts and to continue to focus on Jesus? An hour? A day? A week? A month? A year? How long is it after this adversity comes our way that we begin to focus on Jesus? We've received some emails here. This everyone email for the congregation is just absolutely wonderful. And several times people have sent out emails and they have some life-threatening situations going on in their lives. But they haven't lost their focus. It's wonderful to read and hear them say that whatever this is, it's in God's plan. God's on my side, just as we read back in Matthew 28 and verse 20. Jesus tells us He's going to be there. Now our question this morning is, do we believe that? Do we believe that God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do we believe that He's going to be there to take care of us? That's great faith. But the question back to the passage as we began is, do we faint during the time of adversity? Drew Bean gave a lesson, I don't know, maybe a year ago, year and a half, I don't remember. But he talked about focusing. And he talked about, I think they were in the Rocky Mountains, I think, but they were on a path or on a trail up in those mountains. And he was talking about how they had to stay in focus on that path in order to safely be able to go on that trail. Have you ever thought about that illustration, using that illustration that he gave with our Christian life? Do we focus that much on our Christian life? Do we have in focus Jesus Christ in our lives? Is it something that we stop and think about every day or a regular basis? How am I doing in my life for Jesus? Sometimes we view our adversities in terms of our own abilities and our own will. And we realize how weak we are. We look around us today. When we talk about adversity, as we watch the news, what do we see and hear? My point as I go through this, I want us to think about, we need to keep Jesus Christ in focus. No matter what is going on in this world, this evil world in which we live, we need to keep Christ in focus. We stop and think about everything that we read in the news. We hear about ISIS. We hear about Benghazi. We hear about the shooting in Paris. We hear about the shooting in California. We hear about all these evil things going on in the world. Here's something we need to keep in mind. No matter what is going on in this world, we have to keep our faith in Jesus Christ. They can't take that away. There's a passage in the book of Psalms that really helps me out with this. In Psalms, the 37th chapter. And like I said as I began this lesson, I said this lesson's for me, and it really is. But when it's talking about the condition of this wicked world in which we live, look at what it says in the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter. I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but just a few verses to give a glimpse of what it's talking about. He starts out in the first verse, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And on and on and on it goes. And then verse 27, it says, depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. No matter what is going on in this wicked world in which we live, what do we need to do? We need to keep our faith. We need to keep it in focus. We need to continue to do what God wants us to do. We need to cultivate in our lives steadfastness. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 58 says, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to realize that God did not put us in a sinless Eden. That's not where we're at. You know, sometimes we have the idea that when I become a child of God, everything is going to be wonderful, everything is going to be peaceful, there's going to be love and joy and happiness everywhere. Yes, we can have some of those things. But there's also reality. What is in this world in which we live? We live in a dying world where sin abounds. We can expect to have a battle and a fatigue, but we can win the battle. But we need to fight it on God's terms. We're studying in the basic principles class now. This morning we talked about Saul, King Saul. One of the things King Saul didn't realize is he had to battle it on God's terms, not on his terms. He lost his kingdom by his own disobedience. But we have to fight this battle, folks, on God's terms. How is it that God wants us to fight this battle that we have to fight, this battle of adversity? Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, he's telling us here how to fight the battle. How to fight this battle of the world that is around us. Are we ready to use the word, the sword? Are we equipped to use the sword? Do we know how to use it? Also, our strength in a time of adversity depends upon, first of all, knowing our opposition. I'm talking this morning about keeping my focus, watching Jesus, looking at Jesus, studying Jesus, knowing Jesus. Who's the opposition? you know who the opposition is. It's Satan. What's his goal? What's his aim? One of his goals this morning is to pull you away from the church. He don't want you here. He doesn't want you with the members of the body of Christ, because we knit together, we love each other, and it's so different than the world. He doesn't want you in that fold. You know what? I value and I appreciate every one of you here. There's folks here in this audience this morning that I know that are struggling. And I want to tell you something. This is so different than the world, what we have right here. There's not a soul in this auditorium this morning that wants to see you fail. There's not a one. And nowhere else in this world can you go and find a place, something like what we have right here, the body of Christ. You can't find that. You go out in the workforce, you go on a ball team, you go out in 4-H, you go out in the world, your neighborhood, whatever you do, it's not that way. But it is that way here in the church. And you know what? Satan doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you among this fold, among this number. He wants to pull you away. He wants you out in the world. And how's he going to do that? One thing he's going to do is he's going to make us neglectful. That's one thing he'll do. Anybody here ever have good intentions that they didn't follow through with? Don't raise your hands. What is that? He wants to make us neglectful. He doesn't want us to do what we really know that we should be doing for Christ. He wants us to make us feel like it's okay. It's okay that I forgot to do that good thing or to do that good deed. And then another thing, as we look at his goal and his aim, he wants to make us worldly. And you know how he does that? A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. He'll let us listen to that music that maybe we shouldn't listen to. Or watch that movie maybe that we shouldn't watch. Or read that book that we probably shouldn't be looking at. Or run with certain individuals that we shouldn't be with. Just a little bit at a time. And you know what happens to us? He knows we'll get calloused. And we'll just gradually get deeper and deeper and deeper. And before long, he's got us. Just like the book of Judges. As we just got done over there studying the book of Judges, we saw in Judges where the book of Judges begins pretty mild, but by the time it ended, the people, the children of Israel, kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. That's how it works. That's how Satan works. But he wants to grab a hold of us. He wants us not to focus on Jesus. But he wants to grab a hold of us. He's got an aim. He also wants to frustrate the church and its mission. What is our mission? Our mission is to go out and preach the gospel to as many people and bring as many people in as we possibly can. But what he'll try to do is frustrate us in that mission. So we fight and fuss among ourselves. His methods, very powerful, very devious, very cunning. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. I'm not going to read that. But you know, we just talked about the bad things. You know, we talked about the movies and the DVDs, the music and all these other things that gradually we fall off. Do you realize also that he uses good things to pull us away from the church? Things that are good and clean and wholesome. But sometimes we get so embedded with these things and we start doing these things, and what do we, before we know it, How much time are we spending on these things? How much time do I spend collecting Steeler whatever? How much money do I spend on Steeler whatever? You see what I'm saying? We all have our hobbies and the things that we like to do, whether it's vacationing or whatever. But He can take even good things where we go to an excess. I'm not getting rid of my Steeler stuff, by the way. You folks out there would like to have that, I realize, but I'm not getting rid of that. Maybe after this afternoon I might. But what I'm trying to say is, Satan works in ways that we don't realize. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. And if we're keeping our focus on Jesus, these things are not going to be able to creep in to our lives. As we're on that trail and we're keeping that focus as we're going through the mountains and on that trail, and we have to diligently keep our eye on the folks ahead and to keep our eye on that trail, we should be doing the same thing with following after Jesus in our Christian lives. We should have that type of concentration in staying faithful to our Lord and doing what He wants us to do. In spite of opposition, we've got to speak positively. The language we speak day by day creates the atmosphere in which we live. And I want us all to stop and think about, what kind of language do I use? Am I negative? Am I positive? What kind of language does our Lord want us to use? Illustrations, because of time, I'm going to skim through these rather quickly. The children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14. They were leaving Egypt. And how many times in their minds did they say, why'd we leave? What about what was in Egypt? Why did I leave? Why can't we go back? And the negativity that was in their mind, they failed to look and think they were headed to the promised land. But so many times they wanted to dwell on the negative. Also in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, where it's talking about the spies. The spies went into the land of Canaan. Two of the spies come back with a positive report. We can be like Nehemiah. One of my favorite Bible characters, Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4 and verse 20, it says, our God will fight for us. Nehemiah 2 and verse 18 says, let us rise up and build. I'm going to close the lesson with just a couple thoughts. New Year's resolutions. Many people like to do New Year's resolutions. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But you know, any time of the year when we realize that we're doing wrong, we need to make a resolution to do better. And this morning, do you need to make a resolution to do better? Do I need to make a resolution today that I need to do a better job of keeping focus on my Lord? I was talking to one of the members here a couple months ago. And he said, I'm having trouble because I don't feel the way I used to when I first became a Christian. He says, I find it harder to do what I need to do. What's that a sign of? That's a sign of the fire going out. I got a question to ask you this morning, and ask it myself. Is the fire going out? Where is our fire for the Lord. As I look at myself, can I say that I'm on fire? Or is it going out? Do you find it difficult to be a child of God? Where am I? Where are you this morning? I'm not asking, as we extend this invitation a little bit, that if you need to rekindle your fire, I'm not asking you to come down forward. I'm not asking that. But what we are asking this morning is, if we need to turn up the flame, we need to do that in our lives. We need to make that change. But as I close this lesson this morning, I want us to think about what we talked about all the adversities that are out there. All the bad things that can happen to us in this life. All of the things that can become a distraction to keep us from focusing on our Lord. Where am I as a child of God? Where's my fire? You may find in your life that there's some things that you're really, really troubled with. And maybe you need to come before the congregation here and say, I need help. I need to have my fire burning. And I want to let my Christian light shine out brightly. But I've got these things in the way. And I need you to pray with me and help me get through these battles. That's why we're all here. We're here to help one another when we need assistance. But maybe you're here also and you realize, I'm not a Christian, but I want to become one. I want to begin to focus really on my Lord and focus on doing what He wants me to do, living the life that He wants me to live. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to repent, as we read in Luke 13:3? Are you ready to make that great confession before men saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as in Matthew 10, verse 32? Do you want to be baptized? One of the beautiful things in life is having all of the sins washed away. Everything that we have done wrong in this life, as we go down into the bottom, the waters of baptism, we have all these sins washed away, and we can come in contact with that Jesus and begin focusing what a day it would be. The lesson's yours this morning. Won't you come as we stand and sing?